Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 8, Episode 5, a.k.a. Muppet Week on the Masked Singer, and I am very excited to get this going. We had a bit of a snafu last week or 2 weeks ago with baseball, but this week, no problem, no delays. Episode came out on time. Everything is smooth sailing. I, of course, am your host, Puya the Spray Bottle Zambakili, ready to break things down once more. And as always, I've got my ride or die with me here. It is the one, nay, the only, Liana, the controller, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Yes, A-A-B-A, up, down, X. That's me.
All right, well,
the controller.
That wasn't a code to anything, but that's fine.
No, you didn't like my cross-platform. No, there's an X in
on an Nintendo. Xbox controller.
Mm,
no, but the Contra code is up, down, up, down, left, right, B-A, select, start.
Yeah, that's what I meant. What Puya said?
You said X, so here we are.
Okay, well, I didn't know.
Well, we're back, Liana, and it is Muppet Week. Are you excited for where Masked Singer is going? I know that the last time we spoke, you said maybe the format had been growing on you. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm still really much enjoying this format. It felt a little less Muppet heavy, particularly, I mean, obviously the song choices weren't necessarily any way Muppet based, although we did, as we discussed, have the Rainbow Connection. We had Menomina. So, you know, those were all included. But I still thought it was really fun. The inclusion of Miss Piggy as the guest judge, I thought, was a really fun way to go about it as well. So, yeah, I mean, that in combination with just really, we are running through people, which seems absurd, but at the same time is really fun. And we had our first queen unsatted.
Usurped.
Unset. Okay, sure. Yeah. Overthrow the monarchy.
Unsat.
Unsatted. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I guess I do. But yeah, if the theme follows this, where we are going to be seeing people get usurped, it's going to actually be competitive. We're going to be left with, oh my God, I don't know which one's going to go. I'm all for it. I like it. Which maybe then, the question that should be begged here is, should they have let this group go first and then have the Harps group be later? Because the Harp just went through everyone like it was nothing for the first 3 weeks, which are arguably the most crucial weeks of the show because you're trying to retain your audience.
Yeah, So obviously they want to make the biggest splash with the guests. And I feel like the names of the guests, possibly, especially that first episode with Eric Idle and William Shatner, really just completely stood out, right? I think also having the Brady Bunch boys as the mummies, I still think that was a really good shout. Montel Jordan, Jeff Dunham, I really feel like that group. I mean, not that this last group is bad. I mean, you had Gloria Gaynor and in this episode, Jerry Springer. So there's still a lot of big names. But to me, I just get the sense that there was maybe more power in the first group. And so that's why it was chosen, not necessarily because the Harp didn't, except for maybe the Panther, have a ton of competition.
Well, here's the thing for me. We're talking audience retention. What better way to bring people back in if they're like, oh, the caliber of celebrity isn't that high in this group, than by having episode 4 be William Shatner and Eric Idle? It's like, oh my God, what just happened? Next episode, what just happened? So I don't know. I go back and forth on it, but I will say this though. I am actively enjoying this second group far more than I did the first group. And maybe it's a byproduct of now getting more familiar and used to the format, or maybe it's the themes that they've been doing. I'm enjoying myself right now, and that's all I can ask for.
Mm. Do you feel like you're enjoying it more because it's more competitive?
Definitely, right? The part of the show that intrigues me the most is the mystery of who is behind the mask and whether I can solve it. And then the mystery of who is going home tonight. If that's the thing with this format, if you're already guaranteed to lose two people out of the three in each episode, that mystery of who's behind the mask gets both maybe either a lot harder or a lot easier, depending on who's getting unmasked. But then the mystery of who's going isn't there, which that takes it away from me as well.
Yeah, I mean, I will say one thing that this format does is that it emphasizes the person getting unmasked element, not so much the competition element, because even though whomever, like the Harp, for example, who ended up beating out a ton of people to make it as the winner of her group, obviously excelled at the competition aspect, but it felt so secondary to new celebrity. Who's the celebrity? Celebrity unmasked. And it kind of didn't really matter who moved on. We just sort of lost that competition element.
Right. Which, again, I feel like they have to keep trying to make the show better / keep people excited. If it's samey, samey, that might not fly. But yeah, for me personally, I'm happy with where we are come episode 5 right now.
Yeah, I think that it's, despite scheduling delays, is still an enjoyable season. And while we are maybe missing some of that competition, yeah, gosh darn it. Now that you say it, I'm like, wait, hold on. Because it was so fun to root for, you know, whomever you cared about moving on. And it just feels like the stakes maybe are lower. I don't know. In this episode, I felt like we actually had a legitimate competition between the Lambs and Robo Girl. But we had one last week as well. So maybe this is the way to get the competition in there. But as you said, 5 episodes in, still having a good time.
Right. Well, speaking of, you know, scheduling, I want to, at the top, before we even dive into the episode, speak on a little bit what the scheduling looks like for the upcoming couple of weeks, because it's going to be tricky. Here we go. So next week is Wednesday, right? That's when the show is on. But the Wednesday episode is contingent on whether or not the World Series goes to Game 5. Because Game 5 of the World Series falls on Wednesday, November 2nd at 8 p.m. Same time as Masked Singer, November 2nd, 8 p.m. So what's going to happen is if there's no Game Series 5, meaning if one of the teams sweeps the other, we go about our schedule completely fine for that night. But either way, whether or not there's an episode that night, there's a special episode next week on Sunday, the 6th of November, at 8 p.m. Okay. And here's where it gets tricky. That 8 p.m. show is episode number 7, not episode number 6, which is the next one. Because if there is a game 5, then at 7 p.m. Sunday, we'll get episode 6. At 8 p.m., we'll get episode 7. If there is no game 5, we're still getting episode 6 at 8 p.m., but also in the rerun at 7 p.m. on Sunday. So Sunday, there's going to be 2 episodes on the 6th, regardless of the outcome, but there's a chance both of them are going to be brand new episodes, or one's a rerun, one's a new episode.
So what you're telling me is that regardless of the games next week, we're still going to have 2 episodes by Sunday, November 6th.
Correct. So So what that means is either we will have watched The Masked Singer Wednesday night. Well, we're going to be in DC, but either we record something that weekend before Monday hits, or we have to cover both episodes before Wednesday, November 9th, where episode 8 plays. So there's a chance we get 3 new Masked Singer episodes in the span of 3 days.
To me, the likelihood of it going to game 5 is pretty high, right? I mean,
it's the finals. Sweep. I feel like a complete sweep is difficult, right? I don't know much about baseball, but I'm assuming.
Last Jordan Kalish. Okay. Well, okay. That's good to know. So if it is disrupted again, don't worry. They will be airing the episode for sure on Sunday the 6th, as well as a new episode.
Right. We will try our best to do an episode before November 9th so that we cover those two, because Lord knows I don't want to wrap up the second group and then do two episodes on the new group all on one podcast. That's way too long of a podcast.
So yeah, it's a lot.
Maybe what we could do, and we can talk about this later on, is we wrap up group B separately with that, which the next week's theme is 90s night. Okay.
Yes.
So we wrap up 90s night on its own episode. Then we do the next two together or whatever. We can figure that out in the, offline.
Sounds great.
Perfect. So yeah. So then I'll just go ahead and say what the themes are coming up, because I have all of them in front of me here. So this was Muppets night. Next one is 90s night. The one after that is Hall of Fame night. And then the one after that is Comedy Roast night, followed by Fright night.
Okay, with Hall of Fame night and Comedy Roast night, getting a little bit further away from the music element of it all. Although Comedy Roast night would be funny. It's like you have to perform a stand-up, like lip-sync to a stand. Oh, no, they're in masks.
They're going to bring Triumph the Puppet Dog, right? He's going to be the guest judge, I'm assuming.
Is it the Triumph the Insult Comic Dog?
Oh, that one, yeah.
Triumph. The Insult Comic Dog.
That's not important. You got who I said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no need to do extra Googling here.
I wanted to remember what his full name was. He's been on the show before.
Yes.
Oh, that would have been good for Muppets night too.
Why? There's like 18 Muppets. So you don't need him there.
Yeah. But that would have been funny to watch him and Kermit interact. Although Kermit didn't really get to do much. Kermit just sort of sang the Rainbow Connection for at least a line before the judges jumped in.
Kermit was not the star of the night by any means. No.
I mean, on stage quite a bit, but it was definitely the night of Miss Piggy.
Right. So there you go. That's the schedule upcoming. We've now talked about that. Shall we dive into the episode? And yes, Rainbow Connection did get sung right out the gate in the open. Everyone participated, including all four judges, and Nick Cannon got involved with Kermit the Frog singing Rainbow Connection. I nailed that prediction last week, just wanted to say. And Menomina was on the episode too. Bonus points for me.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely makes sense. The lighting was not very flattering for humans, although it seemed to be flattering on Kermit. I felt bad for the judges having to sit there being like lit from the bottom, like they're telling a ghost story. But it was funny. It was fun also because, yeah, Ken is an okay singer. And then for Jenny, they had to like throw in some audio over her
right?
own
she
audio.
She had to have lip synced.
Either she lip synced or it was, because sometimes they do this even with the regular performers, is they have a backing vocal track that plays and she sings along with the backing vocal track.
See, I thought she just lip synced horribly because I could tell that there was another voice. But I just was like, I felt like there was a desync, but maybe it was that. Maybe it was both. Okay.
Yeah. Could have been one or the other. Definitely she was not really singing, but she's not known as a singer, so fine.
Yeah. So they did their performance, and then we pan out. Miss Piggy is at the judges' table, ready to go. So Miss Piggy's going to be the guest judge tonight, which I will say, great choice. I thought Miss Piggy was a very fun piece to the puzzle here.
Yes. We talked about this, how this was probably the strongest way that they've been able to include their themed nights, except for Andrew Lloyd Webber night with Andrew Lloyd Webber himself being there. So I felt that that was a good way, especially if they're not going to do a lot of Muppet songs. Although, again, I couldn't really tell you. It's the Muppet theme song and like nothing else. Again, how are they going to sing Menomina unless it's an interlude between segments?
We'll get to it, but at least one of the songs sang had some link to the Muppets. So I will fill you in on that when we get there.
Cool.
Okay. So then there was a bit of banter between Ken and Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy mistook him for a PA that got her coffee and then proceeded to say, yeah, the coffee was always cold, by the way, like your guesses.
Oof. Ooh, burn.
You know what's not cold? That burn. Boom.
Get him, girl.
Get him again for me. Yeah. So Ken got his, which is great, of course. And then we are told, yeah, Robo Girl went through last week. Anyway, here's Robo Girl. So Robo Girl's going to open the show once again. And most of the clue package was just focused on what a legend she went up against last week and was able to defeat. And then there was a stage name badge and a honey pot jar thing. There was a reference to a B&B, two Bs. And then there was a Lindsay Lohan clue, which was the most like, and here's an extra clue, just a photo of Lindsay Lohan. So that's the clue package that I got, Liana. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, I think that was actually the only new one, the Lindsay Lohan clue. The sheet note thing I think was there last week's episode, but maybe not the interpretation that we got from Nicole where she said, oh, it's they're Bs, it's BB, like BB Rexha, which obviously it's not BB Rexha. I would know if it was BB Rexha. So that was it. Everything else I think we had seen before, the surfboard, the honey, the stage name, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think so the performance here, what I did like is, yes, Kermit was not involved, but Kermit plays a mean piano. Kermit was on the piano for this performance doing Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, which, Liana, the Muppets debuted on YouTube doing a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, okay. So it's tangentially related. I'll take that.
I know this one is. I don't know about the other ones, but this one I know.
For me, this... So first of all, you know, all focus was on her, right? No backup dancers, not a lot going on set-wise, except for, as you mentioned, Kermit accompanying on the piano. So this was all about her voice. And I feel like she has a really great stage presence and obviously is a fantastic singer. I think for me, this song is just so iconic, right? And it's tough to live up to, but I still think she did a really great job.
Well, what I did like was starting in the very ballady type scenario with Kermit on piano and then exiting over to the center stage with a little bit of razzle dazzle there. Lighting was good. But yes, no dancers in sight, just a view of Robo Girl doing her thing. I thought the song was fine. I thought it was decent. I even wrote in my notes, good start, but I feel like she could get dethroned. I did note, I did love that Kermit was wearing like a leather jacket that I was into. I thought that was cool. What did you feel about the eye color? I don't know if we talked about this already, but I noticed it more this episode. The eyes of the Robo Girl switch from red to green to nothing on a loop. And it's not synced up to anything. And it just makes no sense to be there, in my opinion.
Oh, see, I thought it was. Because last week I remember noting that her eye color changed and that I thought it was synced to the beat.
It was definitely not this time. Because even when the Robo Girl standing there getting the judges' comments, the eyes are just going at that loop. Yeah, there's no rhythm to it.
Maybe it broke. She like hit the wrong switch or something in the costume and it went to random cycle.
I feel like I have lighting in my room where I can set it to, it hears noise, voice, and switches light accordingly. They could have done something like that.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was coordinated in last week's episode. Because I know, I mean, at least like we literally own technology within this house that has the ability to sync up with music. So I didn't think that had to be obvious. Guess not. Oh, it's wild.
In two second intervals, it changes colors on a loop. So that's it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of lame.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's fine. So anyway, so this week's mega clue / extra clue post performance is Miss Piggy is going to be digging for the truth by interrogating the performer for 20 seconds. What did you think of this as the clue package edition this week?
Ugh, I mean, obviously, she fumbled the bag with the lamb, so I was upset about it. At first, I was like, oh, okay, this is fine. But then I was upset with her by the last one. So for this, I mean, you know, we get a useless clue and then actually two useful clues. So Miss Piggy asks what her favorite color is, which is pink, which I thought actually might have been a clue, and I'll tell you who I thought it was before, like, we actually get the unmasking. Both a singer and an actor, and that she was in six movies, or at least six movies.
See, I heard at least six movies and singer and actor, and I felt good about my guess from last week. I thought, you know, this could be Alison Stoner. Mm-hmm. I did say that. This could be, because I can at least count three movies I remember Alison Stoner being in, and that's The Two Cheaper by the Dozens and then Step Up. So yeah. I felt okay about that one. However, spoiler alert, I was wrong. Also, Alison Stoner's done way more than just six movies. So there you go. That's done. Okay. So then, as far as the judges' guesses go here, I feel like they kind of were all over the place. There was a mention of Zendaya. There was a Shay Mitchell mention. Nicole started with America Ferrara and people said, no, that is wrong. So she switched up to Liza Koshy, which none of the clues to me linked to Liza Koshy there. Additionally, this was the first. So Liana's right, where Miss Piggy initially was very professional, asking all these questions. It was at this point that Miss Piggy started doing what I would say memeing, where she was just joking around, because Miss Piggy was like, you know what? She's amazing. She sounds amazing. I think this is me. I don't know how I did it, but I'm the person behind the mask. So Miss Piggy's guest was Miss Piggy. And spoiler alert, Miss Piggy doubles down and guesses Miss Piggy for the final guest. Should I expect more from a Muppet? No, I think this is the correct level of ridiculousness that would come from a show where a Muppet is an active guest judge judging singers and professionals, folks. So there you have it. Miss Piggy is saying Miss Piggy. Also, this is where we got an appearance from Fozzie Bear. Liana, are you familiar with the works of Fozzie Bear?
I mean, I'm familiar with the work of the Muppets in general. I wouldn't say, like, in particular, Fozzie Bear.
Okay, well, I have zero experience with the Muppets. The most Muppets I know is Kermit and Miss Piggy. So The rest, I always mix up Sesame Street with the Muppets. So.
Okay. Are they part of the same universe? Because aren't Sesame Street Muppets just Muppets?
I don't know.
Or are they just puppets? What's the difference between a Muppet and a puppet?
A puppet has a hand in it. A Muppet doesn't have a hand in it. I think
just that, like, with the sticks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. I would say, like, Overall, we got some Muppets. Okay. We got a lot of Miss Piggy, obviously. We got Kermit the Frog, a little bit of Fozzie. I don't know if we got, like, Gonzo, or what about the two guys that, like, sit.
The theater guys?
Yeah. Harold and Waldorf, or whatever their name is that?
Yeah, they were not there.
Yeah, they were not there. Oh, Statler and Waldorf. Yes. The Swedish chef. I don't know who Harold is. Camilla the chicken. I feel like there's a lot of really fun characters that we could have brought in more so. Rizzo the rat, for example. Scooter. So
were you a Gossip Girl viewer by any chance?
No.
Okay, because the father of Blair Waldorf is Harold Waldorf.
Okay, so maybe. I just incepted its way into my brain.
Yeah.
Statler and Waldorf, no.
Yeah, so I'm not very, very well versed. I feel like if you told me to name Muppets, I would go Kermit, Miss Piggy, and then I would gamble on whether or not Cookie Monster would count. That's really where I would end up going.
Yeah, I think that would be wrong.
I looked it up, and there's not a lot of, besides Kermit, not a lot of crossover has happened.
But you mean between Sesame Street and the Muppets?
Yeah, like they've done crossover events, like other types of productions, but they don't show up on Sesame Street and they don't show up on the Muppet Show.
Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets, worked on Sesame Street. So
yeah.
I think they're at least in the same universe.
Yeah, no, Kermit ended up, splitting away and starting his own thing. You know, Kermit, the fancy one.
The entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you could probably name more Sesame Street Muppets.
Oh, I 100% have watched far more Sesame Street.
Snuffleupagus.
Really? That's the one that you
it's so fun to say.
Yeah, I feel like with Sesame Street, I've got Big Bird, Elmo, Bert and Ernie, Cookie Monster, Oscar the Grouch.
The Count.
But I also thought Menomina was a Sesame Street thing. Gotcha. Even though Elmo. I said Muppets last week.
Elmo?
So. I did say Elmo.
They should do Sesame Street.
I think we're fine. Muppets is good enough. I think we're okay.
All right, sounds
good. Yeah. So Fozzie played the role of, like, the backstage interviewer. Nothing really stood out to me. So Liana finds something, we can move on over to the Beetle. So here comes the Beetle. And I have a problem with this costume, Liana.
Okay.
It's a Beetle,
Yeah.
With the back of a ladybug.
Ah, so you're saying it's an abomination.
Yeah, doesn't doesn't a beetle have like the wings? Like I'm picturing the beetle from Bug's Life right now. And that beetle looks nothing like this beetle. I think this beetle was basically insect in beetle's outfit is how I would describe it.
I mean, beetles have that like big back hard shell. Like I'm thinking of like a scarab beetle. So they do have that. But why was it painted like a ladybug? Oh, my God. Ladybugs are beetles.
Are they?
OK, hold on. Let me I Googled beetle and ladybug showed up.
Well, that might be just a lot of people Googling beetle after last night.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it's related to. Yeah, iconic sets of beetle bugs, and that includes a ladybug, is actually a beetle.
Interesting.
Okay, so maybe it's supposed to be a ladybug. Maybe it wasn't. I mean,
well, I'm looking at it. If you look at Bug's Life, and the beetle looks like the ladybug from Bug's Life, and if ladybugs are beetles, then it all matches, and we're fine, and we can move on.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm no entomologist, so I don't want to speak on the subject matter, but I feel like it's open for interpretation.
Listen, I'm not going to bore you with the details, but I'm going to bug you nice on the specifics. Okay. That worked out. The beetle's the beetle and the beetle's out. Beetle's got a suit and the beetle's got like the beetle's hair, like what do you call that? Like the bowl haircut. Yeah. And the Beatles' first clue we are given is hangs with spies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The clue package begins. And the Beatle talks about they've had an anything but normal life. They were born in a land far away. They got involved in public service. And things took a dramatic turn. They became a household name. They broke records in their field. And there was mention that, you know, you've definitely heard their voice before. And you've yelled their name at your TV. And they were also in one of the biggest films, the biggest film in the 90s. So all of this, there's a clear courtroom motif as well that's going side by side. But once you get that last clue, you've heard my voice before and you've yelled my name at your TV and you compound that with the biggest film in the 90s, it took me 1 second. My first gut instinct was, it's Pikachu. Because you know how in Pokemon, there was who's that Pokemon? And you yell out the Pokemon. I was like, oh, it's Pikachu. And then I stopped that. I was like, be serious. And then 2 seconds later, I found myself chanting, Jerry. I was like, oh my God, it's Jerry Springer. And then the singing started happening. And I don't know the singing of Jerry Springer, but I felt pretty comfortable about that thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. I obviously, look, can we just talk? It's Jerry Springer. Okay. It is what it is. And I think for me, it was, I got it as well. You know, we do see at the very end, or not at the very end, after the Beatles performance, Jenny, I believe, guesses Jerry Springer.
Yes.
So for me, I was going through, it definitely took me longer. So if we're going to give points for who got it faster, even though we didn't watch this together, definitely I would give you the point. I would concede that. For me, what did it that convinced me that it was Jerry Springer was I was like, oh, maybe this is my thought process throughout the clue package. Oh, it's a politician. Oh, no, it's definitely not a politician. But it's like a television judge. And the first person I thought of was Judge Judy. But then I was like, OK, it's obviously not Judge Judy. So there is a Wikipedia page called Television Judges. And Jerry Springer's name is right on there. As soon as I saw it, I remembered we have even talked about it on the show. Judge Jerry, his very own Judge TV show. And of course, I clicked on his profile and everything fit, like literally everything fit. I went back. I could fit essentially every clue to it being Jerry Springer, including, as we know, the very important clue of the walkout where it's on the screen, hangs with spies. He was in Austin Powers, as you mentioned, The Spy Who Shagged Me. So it all fit and it all made sense. And again, I think a pretty big name for the show.
Yeah, I would say so. And then the Beatle sang The Way You Look Tonight. And I absolutely loved Kermit's edition here by Kermit just sitting on the moon. I did like that quite a bit. That was very cool. Mm-hmm. The set was, you know, it was fine. There was a little bit of clouds next to the moon. That was cool. And then, you know, the backdrop was nice once the curtains opened up. Obviously, the singing was okay.
Yeah, it was fine. I you know, smooth voice, not stellar. I feel like Nicole described it really well that, yeah, a little bit of a crooner, but, you know, not going to win an award, I think, anytime soon. I felt like also what helped the Beatle here was, in terms of the performance, was just the way that he handled the stage, you know, turned around, shook his little Beatle butt, held up his little hands. I don't know why, but for some reason,
I don't like the hand. The holding of the hands felt weird to me.
Why? Because he was like holding his own hands.
Yeah, it's like holding them up. It was weird. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Oh, the other thing I liked about the Beatle is he did the dance that I do, where you do the thing with your knees.
Yes, the what is that?
That's me. We dance the same way. So me and the Beatle have the same sense of
you rhythm. And Jerry Springer, same moveset. That's what same, I heard.
No, like literally the exact same moveset. I turn around, I shake my butt, I hold my own hands, and I do the little knee. What is that?
Why dance? You do it? I can hear you trying to do it on pod. That's weird. I can't see you.
I was doing knee. It. Well, I didn't know what to call it. So I had to do it in order to see it, to try to figure out words to describe it. Because does it have a name? The knee.
It's the what is that for me. That's it. You know how at the end of a performance, they'll have the little Chiron that says tweet now, hashtag the Masked Singer. So when the Beatle does finish performing, the Beatles, they show like, you know how like they have like an extra bit of like, you know, there's greenery and there's like there's more Beatles there. The Beatles in that photo are all like the Beatles we're thinking of with the scarab Beatles and not the ladybug. So have we had a ladybug on the show?
Oh God, I don't know.
I'm looking it up. Okay, yes. Right. In season 2, there was a ladybug and the ladybug was Kelly Osbourne.
Kelly Osbourne. Yep. Yeah. Her costume looked very different though.
Yeah. They focused like on the red and black motif.
Yeah, they didn't try very hard, I feel like, for this costume. They like threw him in a suit and they stuck like a trash can on the back that was spray painted.
We're eight seasons in.
Horrible haircut. I mean, I get it. That's the point. It's supposed to be like the bowl, but even the wig looks bad.
All right, why is the wig on trial here?
I'm just talking about it in context of the overall quality of the costume.
Yes, well, we do know you're a bit of a stickler for the costumes here.
I mean, obviously.
Okay. So Jenny said she fell in love. And mind you, Jenny's the person who guessed Jerry Springer. So Jenny fell in love with Jerry Springer. Thank you. Good night. Okay. And then Miss Piggy ended up asking what questions here? Are you known for your hair? No. Have you won an award? I've won a number of Emmys. That's what we got from Miss Piggy.
Yes. I don't really have any thoughts on their guesses, apart from obviously I agree with Jenny here. I was just looking back at the Judge Jerry show page. Apparently,
you got canceled.
We didn't even get to go because it was in Connecticut, right? That was the whole point, is that we could go see it.
Yeah, but then the pandemic hit.
That's
it did
so
go
sad.
On for 3 seasons, though.
Probably 3 more than it should have, but you know what?
Yeah,
I like
to
it.
Be honest, we would have gone for the comedy of it all. So we're fine.
Did you know that Jerry Springer was like he worked for JFK or something?
Yeah. Didn't he run for mayor at some point?
Let's see. He became a political campaign advisor. Oh, to Robert Kennedy. Yeah. I feel like they said that in the show. Wasn't he like the mayor of Cincinnati or something?
Yeah. Or something.
That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jerry Springer has been doing a lot in his life. He's still known for the main thing, I think, the talk show. But
yeah, they need to make a documentary about him. I would watch the S out of that.
Really? Wouldn't you just watch it once?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would just watch it once, but I'd be excited to watch it. He seems to have a very interesting life.
I'll ask you again in like a year if you feel that way. And trust me, be like, who? Why?
Why did I say that? He did his bachelor's at Tulane.
Ooh, see, same moveset, same university. It's all coming together.
We're the same people.
I'll tell you this, though. I did not fall in love with Jerry Springer, unlike Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was fine, but it was kind of the obvious, like, okay, so he's gone, right? You know what I mean? It's like the big name, but is obviously going to get eliminated. So that kind of, I think, took a little bit of the sail out of its little ladybug wings.
But the thing with this format is, especially when you open up with the one with the crown, every other performance you see, you're immediately comparing to the person who's already ahead. And
right.
It was like, yeah, you're out. Okay, next. Who's next? Give me the lambs, you know? And that's, and then, yeah. Okay, so before we got to the lambs, we did get a Menomina, which, like I said before, very excited to have gotten that. And then we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the lambs. Menomina. We're back. Okay. So the lambs, Liana, their clue was can't let go.
Wait. Hold on. Before we move on, I just want to amend something that I said in the previous segment before we took our break. And I merged two phrases together. I meant to say the wind out of its wings instead of the sail out of its wings. The wind out of your sails. I pulled the sharpest marble in the barrel move out. Okay. And I just want to correct that for the record. Thank you very much.
I love that that's the thing you go back to correct yourself, but everything else you've said before, you've not issued a correction, including that you'd watch the S out of a Jerry Springer documentary.
Yeah, that all holds up. I stand by all that.
Fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
The lambs.
Yes. So the lambs come out to a clue that says can't let go. Gotta say, I love the lambs outfit. Absolutely love the lambs outfit.
Yeah, definitely very cute. I think also having the three of them together with all of the different colors, it just adds to the ambiance. I mean, they're giant costumes with the way that the hoop skirt comes out. So this is, they must take up a lot of the stage.
Yeah, as far as costumes go, the lambs are far from bad. Nice. All right, nailed it.
You're such a kid. Wait, isn't that goats? What's a lamb? Is a lamb a baby goat?
All right, why don't you be a lamb and tell us what happened in the clue package, Liana?
Okay, also I want to talk about lamb chop, but I'll talk about the clue package first. Okay, so the clues to the lambs were talking about how, well, it was funny that they introduced with Miss Piggy being a style icon since they were very little, which was cute. And then they grew up with each other, and they've been Beverly Hill besties from day one. They loved playing pretend together, and that ended up leading to a massive career on stage and on screen. There was famous written on a pair of jeans, a sign that said Venice. They also talked about how they've graced billboards, countless red carpets. There was a giant ring, like a stone. Like the stone was giant. I don't know if the ring was giant. I mean, it must have been to hold up that stone. There was also popcorn. And they haven't lost their swing.
Yeah. So would you like to know where my mind went before I realized, wait, there's three of them, not two of them?
Yes.
I thought Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, they are back. They're together. They're on this show. But then I was like, oh, no, wait, there's three of them. Never mind. And then I spent the rest of the performance trying to think of who the third would be. And would it be Kim Kardashian because she was kind of Paris's assistant at one point?
That would be so iconic.
That'd be fun. I mean, they did sing Hot and Cold by Katy Perry. So I thought that could be, I could see them singing that song. And, you know, the famous jeans, both of them have famous parents that ended up getting them to where they are. So I don't know. I was making the clues fit. But again, there were three lambs and not two. Which kind of ran my point moot a little bit.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about this, of that when there's more people, it kind of helps you narrow down the possible choices, because obviously they have to be connected in some way. So either they have performed together in the past, we've seen Penn and Teller, or they're related in some way. We've seen two of the Pointer Sisters. So that is nice when it comes to sort of narrowing down who it is. And especially based on their singing ability, you can kind of be like, okay, yeah, they're definitely singers. They're known for, you know, like that's what they're professionally known for. And since this was a good performance, I think we can probably rule out the Kardashians, as Ken mentioned, as well.
Horrible guess.
And Nicole Richie. I know, so bad.
At least like, Paris Hilton has music out.
Well, yeah, isn't she a DJ?
Yeah, but everyone remembers Stars Are Blind.
Yeah, everyone does.
You don't?
I don't know. I'm sure if I heard it, I would remember it.
Yeah, you listen to some problematic music, but it's okay.
Indeed.
Okay, so I thought this performance was really fun. I thought the Hot and Cold was a great addition. I thought the three of them together was phenomenal. I love the goofy one-eyed dancers in the back. Again, this is a Katy Perry song. So I feel like a Katy Perry song, anything goes as far as backup dancers, background, Katy Perry's music. Typically, the ones you can think of the music videos, they have like California Girls, so colorful. So this worked for me on every level. There was a lot of razzle dazzle here, which you know I love. So I immediately thought, okay, if there is a group, if there's someone that can usurp the Robo Girl, it's them. And my God, I enjoyed this quite a bit. Not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, I did remember the Paris Hilton Stars Are Blind. As soon as I put it on, I immediately recognized it. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I don't know why I kept forgetting that it was Paris Hilton who did that song. So again, issued correction, okay? Not going to take the sales out of my stars today. Okay. yes, so here's what I have to say about the performance because, well, we can talk about it when we get to the Battle Royale, but I think part of the reason why the Lambs stood out is because they were the ones, as you mentioned, that had literally all of the razzle dazzle this week. I would say that both the Beatle and Robo Girl, again, all about them, just focusing on them, no backup dancers, whereas the Lambs had the sparkles, the fireworks, the backup dancers, the ones with the one giant eye that was all very colorful. It was just so fun. It really filled the stage. It was just enjoyable cornucopia of movement. And so I think that that's part of the reason why they were able to be so successful because their vocals and their harmonies were obviously outstanding. But I think in addition to that, they had the razzle dazzle of it all.
Yeah, this is everything I love about The Masked Singer. This is what I really enjoy. When there's razzle dazzle and the vocals are decent, that's all it takes for me. And their vocals are better than decent. They're very good. So,
yeah. Oh, also, unrelated, but related to Hot and Cold by Katy Perry. I thought until I watched this episode, which it doesn't make sense, but this is what I thought, that the lyrics were, you always speak critically, not cryptically, which obviously it's Hot and Cold. Cryptically totally makes sense. That's the whole point. But I was today years old. Yeah, you always speak critically. I don't know. To me, it made sense. I guess I have a lot of people speaking critically in my life. It is cryptically. So the more you know.
So then let me give you some more in case you need to learn some more. The Jason Derulo song, Talk Dirty. It's dirty, not critically.
Talk critically to me, daddy.
All right. Okay. So then the question portion for Miss Piggy, this is where she completely leaned into the jokes.
Ugh, I was so mad. I was like, you're wasting my time.
You know, I should have caught this on the initial watch and not on the rewatch, but could this have been the clear sign that they're not going anywhere because we didn't learn anything here?
Right? Okay, I definitely had that thought. It was like, wait, we did learn at least something that the biggest celebrity that this group has ever worked with is Paul McCartney. Okay, great, good. But I was just like, no, stop asking that. Because what was it? Oh, what's your name? What's your Instagram handle? No, I don't want the joke. I want info.
It was all worth it to take the MySpace jab at Ken, though. I did like that quite a bit.
Right, yeah, of course. Oh, man. Okay, so that's what we know. Do we want to talk about the unmaskings? Do we want to give guesses? What are your thoughts?
What do you mean by guesses on them? Because I told you my guess. I told you what I think, and I don't think I'm right. So,
okay. I thought you were saying that as like that was your joke guess.
Okay, listen, I don't want to hear this from someone who's had many a bad guesses during the tenure of this podcast. Just because you got one good season under your belt doesn't mean you can come here and look down on me, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I was wrong. I thought I had a guess for the Robo Girl and then was immediately shown that was wrong. So what do I know? Okay, so then I guess I'll run through my
logic. I assume you were bringing it up because you had a good guess you wanted to put out there.
I do. I mean, I have some thoughts and I want to throw them out there and I want to hear what you think. So again, three people, it's easier to narrow down who we think they might be. So I thought of and wrote down all of the three like girl groups that I could think of that I felt kind of matched the time frame. So for example, like it's not going to be Little Mix now with just the three of them. You know what I mean? Like obviously it's not going to be them. So the Chicks, which were guests. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of the band that the girl group that I think it was Nicole mentioned. Haim?
You've never heard of Haim?
No, who are they?
Oh, do I know them? Dear Lord. I'm assuming not.
Let me look at them up on Spotify.
Okay, well, that is not the... Now is not the time for that. So you can continue with your guess.
Okay. So the Pointer Sisters, I thought would have been another one. And then I remembered that two of them were actually already on the show. So I'm probably going to rule that one out. 3LW was the other one that I thought of because, again... Female, three of them could make sense, but I don't know if they would have another contestant back, right?
Yeah, because one of them have been on The Masked Singer already.
Yes. It was, oh my God, I always mispronounce her name.
Adrian.
Adrian Bailon. Bailon, yes, Bailon. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she was already on the show. I thought it actually could be a fun gag to bring her back and then have her again. So the other one that I thought of was Wilson Phillips. And I remember them because they were in they were talked about in the TV show I Love the 90s. So I did reading about 3LW also, and I tried to like see what clues I could match. But Wilson Phillips stood out to me for a couple of reasons. So first, they are from Los Angeles. Two of them are related because there's two like sisters. Carney and Wendy. The famous jeans could also be Wilson jeans. Is that a thing?
Wilson jeans? What?
Isn't that a jeans brand?
No.
Or did I make that up?
Are you thinking of Winston jeans?
Maybe. Oh, no.
Oh, no. There is a Wilson men's jeans at Target.
Yeah, okay.
No, results found zero. Oh. Never mind.
Okay, never mind. All right, then maybe it is because at least two of them are related. And what really did it for me is their clue was Can't Let Go. And the song that they are most known for is Hold On.
Huh? So?
And they've collaborated with Paul McCartney on your favorite song of all time. So
don't do that. I hate that song. You know I hate that song.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say it as a joke. So I'm going to go with Wilson Phillips, but I don't feel super confident. This could be completely the wrong avenue, but that's the guess that I'm going to go with for now.
Let's see. I'm looking at their wiki right now. One of them did appear on Dancing with the Stars, I think.
Ah, okay.
Which band member Chyna was a contestant on season 13 and explained that Hold On was written by herself, Carney, and Wendy about her recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. Chyna made it to week 4 of the competition.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So this is an interesting clue interesting guess because there are some active things I can see here for us to keep an eye on next week.
Okay.
Big ticket items that we could look at. They made a cameo in the movie Bridesmaids. If they're in this, that could come up. Additionally, the song that you mentioned is my favorite, is 4 or 5 seconds and the number 45. We got to look out for that. That could be something that comes up. They were also, they performed on the season finale of NBC's The New Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if that has anything to do with, I don't know. I was thinking maybe the popcorn. Because they were eating popcorn in the thing. Like,
yeah, see,
grab your popcorn.
I have another guest that I want to throw your way.
Okay.
And that is, have you heard of a girl group called Atomic Kitten?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are British. Okay. So and they were active from 1998 to 2004, then again from 2013 to now. So I think they could be someone that we could talk about too.
Yeah. So they were also, they were on the list because I did a Google search for lists of girl, like three person girl groups. I eliminated them because they're from England. And this said that they've been Beverly Hill besties from day one, but that doesn't mean that they could have moved, right?
Where's Paul McCartney from?
Well, I mean, he's from England, right?
There you go.
What does that mean?
They like, could could have worked together.
Yeah, that's possible. The other option too, though, because I saw, for example, Bewitched, one of my favorite Irish girl groups of all time, is what if it's only a subset of them? So it could be more than three. We know it's at least three, but it could be more than three.
Every time we've done this where we think there's more than what there is, there isn't. So I don't think so.
The Pointer Sisters, right? Or was the other one not with us anymore? Why was there? Because I thought all three of them were supposed to do it. Or maybe just one of them was supposed to do it.
I don't know.
Do I remember that. None? I don't remember. All right, let's just move on.
Okay, so they're, you know, they have a song called The Tide Is High. And then the clue was it Don't Let Go. When don't the tide is high, oh, you shouldn't let go of the safety floater.
Yeah, device.
Okay. Okay. I don't like this whole I'm Liana, I'm looking down on you nonsense that I'm getting.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
Sound pretty smug, Boris.
Oh, that's what I was forgetting. Okay, it was just one of the Pointer Sisters because the other one couldn't do it.
Okay.
Because Bonnie was going to. Oh, okay, okay, all right, okay. So this is just one of them. All right, so I'm completely talking out of my you know where. So I think you could be definitely on the right path. I think that, as we mentioned, that intro clue is so important. So you really have to make it fit. I mean, and I will just say that I think mine's a little bit of a better
jeans,
fit.
Famous jeans, and two of them were the daughters of one of the Beach Boys, and one of them is the daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, definitely makes a better case.
than the Unknown Wilson brand of jeans.
That I don't know where you got that from. Also, Winston jeans aren't a thing. Oh no, they are a thing. Winston jeans are a thing. I'm looking at a logo for Winston jeans, although this looks like the same brand as the cigarettes. There's Winston cigarettes, right? I don't have that right.
I think that's right. I'm looking through jean brands, and I think I was thinking of Wrangler. I think I was thinking of Wrangler jeans.
That I know, because my dad loves Wrangler jeans, and I own quite a bit of Wrangler jeans as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good thing I don't have to talk about fashion. Ugh.
That, I mean, I don't know about that. You're pretty fashionable, so.
Yeah, you should see my dance.
Moving on. Okay. So then we get to the votes here, and the Beatle is out. Bye, Beatle. Beatle's gone. The final guesses from the judges are Rowan Atkinson by Nicole, Mike Myers by Ken, Jenny said Jerry Springer, Robin piggybacked on it, made a joke, and looked directly at Miss Piggy's face when he said that. And then Miss Piggy guessed someone who was on Night Court who I wrote down John Larroquette.
Yeah, John Larroquette. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were the guesses. Obviously, it was Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer loses, gets unmasked. And then Jerry Springer is escorted to go sit down while the battle royale happens. Here is what I'm excited to talk about. Okay. The battle royale. So they did the song Call Me by Blondie, and Robo Girl went first, followed by the Lamps. And the whole premise of this is that, you know, two sides doing the song, same song, but different. My immediate reaction was Robo Girl's doing solid. I think she's got this. Then Robo Girl got to the chorus, to the Call Me, did not do well. I did like the Call Me was a bit of a whimper. I didn't feel like electrified. And that's supposed to be the strongest part of the song. So I feel like Robo Girl missed the mark there. Then the Lambs started, and I felt like it didn't start great. It was kind of okay. Then their Call Me moment was by far the winner. And I feel like this was a battle of the chorus, and I think one side did far better than the other side, and that's how we got the winner we got.
I would say it was very close as well. Maybe I think I was a bit closer on who I would have had moving on. But I do see what you're saying about really having to nail that chorus. I mean, I think it's really hard, right? It's Blondie and singing really anything in the same way that she does. I think it's just high expectations. And the Lambs, because there's multiple of them, they have the ability to have that alternative take to be able to bring out all the harmonies. And, you know, they've been singing together for so many years, right? This is just second nature for them. And so to have that on this track, I think, helped to elevate where maybe Robo Girl was kind of struggling a little bit when it came to the chorus. I was just enjoying Jerry Springer just sort of like chilling in his hoodie.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. He's having a good time.
He's having a great time.
Right. I feel like this was one of those situations where when you have a group performing and the group is good, more voices versus one voice, more voices will win.
Right. Right. Yeah. Especially any, like, if there's little imperfections, you're not going to hear those really because you've got the harmonies from everybody. So, look, we had our first unseating, successful unsatting, if you will, of the Lambs moving on. And I don't know. I honestly, next week, I could even see the Lambs being knocked out potentially if someone who's a really powerhouse vocalist comes in. I could knock them off the seat, or we could see our first multiple person group make it to the finals.
Which honestly intrigues me greatly. I feel like if this is something that's actually going to happen, I would love to see it, because for too long now they've been trying to have multiple people and it's just not worked out every time. So
they're too long now.
They're too long. Yes. So that would be great. Okay. Now the loser here, of course, Robo Girl, has been usurped. We get to the final guesses. Everyone had a different guess from one another. Ken went with Sydney Sweeney. Jenny went with Shay Mitchell. Nicole went with Liza Koshy. Robin went with Kiki Palmer. And Miss Piggy doubled down on Miss Piggy. And ultimately, we got none of those as the final. We got Kat Graham. Are you familiar with the works of Kat Graham?
No. No, I was not familiar with this person. My bad. She was in Honey 2.
I did not watch Honey 2, but there were two jars of honey, so that makes sense. I have watched both The Parent Trap. First of all, I watched The Parent Trap multiple times. And I've also watched 17 again. And I did not remember her in either. Her biggest role by far is The Vampire Diaries, which I did not watch. But that's where the BB comes in. Bonnie Bennett is the name of the character she played on Vampire Diaries. Yes. So
who did she play in The Parent Trap?
She played, this is what's interesting. So I went to look because immediately I was like, well, that's the one I would know. She played the role of Jackie, a friend of Annie at Camp Walden.
Okay, so she was one of the campers.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's all we got there. Okay, that's all we got there. But okay. Obviously, I feel like if you're a fan of Vampire Diaries, you immediately know who this was. But unfortunately, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So we have the honey explained, the BB explained, the Lindsay Lohan explained. I did see that she won. She did win a Teen Choice Award. Yeah. She was the Choice TV Female Scene Stealer at the Teen Choice Awards. So that explains the surfboard. What was the stage name? Is that something that has to do with Vampire Diaries?
I mean, the BB was that?
No. So there were the sheet note, like the sheet music that had the notes BB, which I assume is what's supposed to be for Vampire Diaries. But there was like the word stage name written out, which I'm seeing that she's now distributing music under the stage name Toro Gatto. So yes,
that's probably what it was. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we got to learn about someone new. And by someone who, I mean someone who's around our age that I just wasn't familiar with, but who was in one of my favorite movies growing up. So I had definitely seen her, just did not know of her.
Well, the more you know.
Yes, but that is it. That is it for this episode. Like I said, next week we're going into 90s night. Now, whether that's going to be Wednesday night or Sunday night remains to be seen. Following, of course, with our podcast schedule that we'll keep you posted about on Twitter at Puyaism, at Liana RHAP. Of course, Liana, where can people find you otherwise? What else do you have going on? Let them know.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, as Puya mentioned, at Liana RHAP. I'm podcasting about, we released Lego Masters, our coverage of episodes 2, 3, and 4. So that's out there. I haven't watched the episode from this week, the dogs. I'm so excited for it, though. So definitely looking forward to that. And then we're going to be back to do 5, 6, and 7 at some point later on, depending, obviously, on the airing schedule. And then when it comes to Survivor, Mike and I talked to Pridium last week. We're going to be talking to Mary this week, just chugging along with all the good B&B-ness over there on the Survivor B&B.
Lovely, lovely. Again, y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I just did a massive stream, 8 hours worth of tournament, which was 3 different games. Check that out. It was a good time. And also, I also had the opportunity to interview Cher and Dawn from Smothered. Rob and I got together and interviewed them this past weekend. It was a good time. You can check that out. And other than that, 90 Day Fiancé still going on, still talking about it. I had Brian Scalley on with me this week to talk about the latest episode. And I believe someone in this very call will be on with me next week. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna catch up.
You got this. You have thumbs one episode up to catch up on. You're there.
I have 2, but that's okay. Good job, me.
You're doing it, and you're doing it well, and we appreciate you. But yeah, that brings us to the end of this podcast, of course. Last bit of business here. If you could please leave a rating and review for this podcast, it allows people to find the podcast. It further solidifies us as the official unofficial podcast of The Masked Singer. We are actually at 138 ratings. If we can get that to 150 by year's end, by season's end, that'll be very much appreciated. Of course, you can do so over on robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's all we've got for you today. We hope you had a good time with us. We will catch you next week for what could be 1 episode's recap, 2 episodes on 1 recap, or the dreaded 3 episodes on 1 recap. Thank you for listening. Take it away, glances. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there?